Good morning, church family. This is an historic thing for me. The funny thing is, I actually will work on my sermons week to week in my home office, preach it out loud a couple times, and here I am preaching the actual official sermon for this week from my home office. So at least I've had a little tryout before, but bear with us as we work on the new technology. So yes, I am in my home office because, as you all know, I've been quarantined and will for another week. And I actually want to begin there by saying thank you to so many of you who have been praying and caring for our family over the last 2 weeks, especially this last week. I want to begin with just a quick update. Since what I sent out a couple days ago, I'm fully recovered. And in fact, I am now in a place where, because of immunity, I can begin to move towards other people who might be in need, and I will be even participating possibly in a study coming up looking at my blood. Crazy, I know, but they have a real need for those who are positive to COVID-19, and so there's a study being done by the National Institute of Health, and so I'm looking at participating in that potentially, but I will keep you guys updated on that. Some of you also saw the news story. We posted it in the update a couple days ago that the local news, Fox 5, picked up. And so you can hear more about the story, my experience that way as well. But as a result of that story and others, I literally have had hundreds of responses to that story, opportunities to pray for people, share the gospel in our neighborhood, people that I wouldn't have otherwise known. And that's where I want to conclude my personal update, is by saying thank you for your prayers. As many of you know, it was Tuesday night. That was the darkest hour for me. And I was at a place where we nearly pulled the trigger to go to the hospital. My shortness of breath was bad. And I received a call from the residing physician who's overseeing my case, who tested my results, actually, who was affiliated with the CDC, also worked for the lab where we got the test kit from. And he said he was going to start me on a regimen of meds in the morning. I actually had been sleeping fairly well, even in the midst of all this. So I decided to wait till the morning to make the final decision. And I woke up feeling remarkably different. And it was over the course of the previous 12 hours that all the prayer, the tidal wave of prayer began. And so I want to be able to testify as your pastor and fellow brother in the faith that it was your prayer that God leveraged to heal my body. And I've been giving thanks to God, and it is a, this has been an experience for our family the last 2 weeks I'm still learning from. And I know I will spend probably the rest of my life learning lessons from COVID-19 and its own personal impact. Please continue to pray for not only our family, everyone else is healthy and well, but also pray for two other families in our church, the Drexlers. Annie was not positive to COVID-19, but evidently also had the flu, or had the flu instead. And she is made nearly full recovery, but is still recovering. So pray for her. Also the Bolins. Jen, as many of you know, also from the letter a couple days ago, she was diagnosed positively with COVID-19, but she has made nearly a full recovery as I record this. So I'm happy to say that's been the case. It has struck our church family, our staff family in particular, hard. And as far as we know, no one else in our church family has it as of today. And we hope, of course, and pray that that would continue to be the case. But thank you again for your prayer. Let's keep being a praying community. I want to begin this time by noting what I think is the obvious. Maybe it's the elephant in the room. And as we all feel very unsafe right now, don't we? There's just something about a global pandemic, something that is striking the global human family in a way that it hasn't in a century. 1918 was the last true global pandemic. And we were thinking as staff, I was thinking in particular about what is it that I want to share with you as a church family this week. Now, beginning next week, we're going to go back to some regular programming, because life goes on. I'll say more about that at the end of the sermon. But this week I want to address, for the second week, last week, anxiety. But this week I want to talk about feeling unsafe. And I don't know of a better psalm than Psalm 23 in our series right now on some of the complicated emotions, and feeling unsafe is one of them. And what we're going to see here is that the psalmist doesn't hold back on recognizing and acknowledging the valley of the shadow of death. But on either side of that valley, on the other side of that shadow, there's comfort, and that's noted over and over again. Here's what I want for us. I want us to be grounded in God's story, not the story, the alternative stories that are out there right now. We have a bigger story, a better story. And so I want to read Psalm 23 to you. And I realize that this will be a familiar psalm. It's probably what Amazing Grace is to worship music. Psalm 23 is to the Psalms. And so this is how it goes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And this is how it ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Three things I want us to see. Number one, we are frail creatures. Number two, we have a shepherd in the midst of our frailty. And finally, because of that, we do not have to live in fear. So let's talk first here about the frailty. COVID-19 has crashed upon our shores in the midst of our Lenten season, at least for us here in the United States. And if you were at the Ash Wednesday service a few weeks ago, you remember that if you were there, you received the imposition of the ashes on the forehead. We said, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's a reminder to us as we prepare for the Easter season. It's a reminder to us that we are all very frail. Our bodies, should the Lord tarry, will one day return back to dust, at least for a season of time, before we are fully embodied again on the other side of our current condition. And I've been thinking about that, about our frailty. And as I said in the introduction, I know firsthand just how frail I can be. Most of my life, I have been free of sickness. Whether it's genetics or fitness or whatever it is, I've been very fortunate. But the way that this disease ravaged me the last 2 weeks will be unforgettable for the rest of my life. When I was in the midst of the shortness of breath and I had a hard time pulling a deep breath and I nearly went to the ER, that's when I realized this is something different. And I knew enough stories, had heard enough stories to know where that could potentially end. Fortunately, though it wasn't a mild case, it wasn't a severe case. It was what they call a moderate case. And I realized it could have been a lot worse. But it was a reminder to me that my weakness was being exposed. And for all of us, whether we have it or not, this is an inflection point. This is that fork in the road that I've mentioned in recent teaching. This is when we can't help but see our weaknesses, our frailty, exposed. And the question will be, of course, how will we respond to that? You know, some of the narratives that are being exposed right now for people who believe that this world is all there is and that they are alone in the world, what's being exposed is this feeling that if they don't make the most of this life, if they don't maintain freedom from COVID-19, this could be the only life they ever live. And I even read a report yesterday about people who, with money, private jets, who are escaping, trying to at least. It reminds me of what happened in the ancient church when the plagues hit in the first several centuries. There were some devastating plagues that hit the Roman Empire. And those who could fled the cities, primarily the pagan community. It was the church that remained behind to care for the sick and the powerless. And I'm aware of that if you believe this life is the only one that there is, you're going to do whatever you can to avoid suffering. And we can't avoid necessarily COVID-19. And we should try to avoid in that sense. But avoiding suffering and avoiding getting COVID-19 are two different things, or two different mindsets, let's put it that way. And so I don't suspect that most of us are there, but it could be that some of us in the Christian community, certainly I've read other reports of churches that have said, we're going to try to keep meeting together because I think, as one pastor friend of mine said about this news report, well, maybe it's out of pride, that somehow we'll be protected as a Christian community. There's a case similar in South Korea that maybe some of you have heard about, and it's foolishness. We are frailty. Our theology should teach us that we should prepare just like the pagan for COVID-19, for pestilence, and to protect ourselves. But I think one of the questions that might be being asked is, why, if I'm a Christian, do I suffer? And the answer is, again, we're frail. John Tillman, a blogger, I've mentioned him before, he said this week in light of coronavirus, with a false sense of security stripped away, we can see if our foundation of faith is truly built on Christ or if it is built on the protections of wealth, the conceit of invulnerability, and our trust in power. We are members of the world's most powerful and wealthy country in the world. We, as members of an urban community, most of us are fairly well off, certainly by the world standards. And yet, as I know firsthand, this disease takes no prisoners. It does not discriminate. And it is a reminder to us that we are not the captains of our destiny. I actually shared that in the news interview. They cut it out, unfortunately. But it's one of the things that I wanted our community to see, was that we are not the captains of our destiny. And this is what this is revealing. I think what I personally have experienced in all this is that I can even have a resistance to suffering. As foolish as that may sound, there was a moment about 4 or 5 days ago where I was just, I guess, over it, so to speak. And I was really irritable one day in particular. I felt distant from God, and it was one of the darker days physically. And I was angry, and others in my family noticed it as well. And God softened my heart. He and maybe it was in part some of your prayers, unbeknownst to you, that God was using to soften my heart. But I was tempted to look at this as a cruel interruption to life. But friends, this is life. God has not promised us a life free from pain. And so we can ask the question, where is God? And I want to conclude this first part about frailty by saying this. We have a God who knows something about frailty as well. We're told in Romans chapter 8, go read that after you are finished listening to this. We're told there that all of creation is suffering. So when we think about COVID-19, when we think about other pestilence, when we think about other problems in our world, it's because sin and brokenness has entered into our world. And we are mindful of the fact that not only have we experienced that because of that, God himself has chosen to enter into that world of frailty. I'm reminded of the story of Elie Wiesel. He was a Jewish survivor of Auschwitz, one of the death camps during the Holocaust. And he tells a story about a roll call being brought out of their garrison and made to stand and watch as two fellow Jewish men were put to death for no crime, but simply because they're in the death camp. One of them in particular writhed and struggled for, I think it was close to 30 minutes, he said. And there was a man behind him in the roll call line, another prisoner, who said, under his breath, but loud enough to be heard by Ely, he said, "Where is God? Where is God in all of this?" And right then he heard a voice. Wiesel said he heard a voice. He said, "Right here, hanging in the gallows with you." The story for us, and Wiesel was not a Christian, but think about that for us. We know how the story ends, and we know that we have a God who hung on the cross, on those gallows for us. And so the frailty is not something that even our Lord doesn't know about. For he himself watched his son go through the the greatest suffering of all, hanging on the ultimate gallows, the cross, for you and for me. Which leads to the second thing, and that is having a confidence that we have a shepherd. Verse 1 simply says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Most commentators will say two things about Psalm 23. Number one, because Israel was largely an agrarian society, a pastoral society, that's where that word comes from, by the way. That's why sometimes pastors are referred to as shepherds. In that sort of world, they were used to shepherds and sheep and so forth. But there's also another backstory here. The language here, not just in verse 1, but also, "He leads me in paths of righteousness," in verse 3. "He guides me along these paths." This language is actually the language of Exodus. The Exodus story was the inflection point. It was the pivotal story for the Jewish people. This is their backstory, where they're enslaved in another valley of shadow of death. It's called the Valley of the Nile, where they literally are working themselves to death. And it is there that they're trapped, and the cries go out, and the Lord sends a rescuer, Moses, and they're rescued, and they come out of their exodus into the redemption. And chapter 15, verse 13 of Exodus, it says this, "You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode." Sound familiar? It's the same language. In the midst of their pestilence, in the midst of their valley, the shadow of death, they have a shepherd who hears their voice, hears the cries of the sheep. And here's why I think that's important. Because right now, we are in our own wilderness. Because if you remember, after they leave Egypt, they're not immediately in the promised land. They're in this now but not yet, this between world. And it's there that they get tested. The wilderness, the desert, in other words, is a place of testing. And God's people didn't always respond well to the testing, did they? In fact, they get out there, remember, they'd had 3 square meals. Yeah, they're slaves, and yes, they're being worked literally to death, but hey, at least they had food. At least it was a lush valley. It was beautiful to look at, yada, yada, yada. And out there in the desert, they begin to complain to Moses, "Did God bring us out here to kill us? Is that what's going to happen here?" They begin to question the goodness of God, in other words. And so the backdrop for the psalm is to remember that. Because I believe right now we are being tested as a church. The church has always been tested over the centuries. Humanity has been tested, but the church, you as an individual, being tested right now with how will you respond to a global pandemic? Practical ways, but also spiritual ways. And so I want you to hear, how does the psalmist respond? Look at verses 3 and 4 again. "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Basically, he would say this if he was talking about COVID-19. The pestilence, the virus, it can ravage my body, but it cannot destroy my soul. For I know who I belong to. I know that there's a bigger story. And this rod and staff, this is the image. This is the defensive weapon to protect the sheep. The long staff against the lion, the wolf, to protect the lamb, that sort of thing. To keep them from going off the edge of a cliff or something like that. And so it's reference to the power of God, really the strength of his abode, Exodus 15, 13. It's a reminder that we have a shepherd, and the shepherd was always with the sheep. The shepherd would literally live out in the fields with the sheep, sleep out there during the season while the sheep were out of the pen. And that's the image that we're intended to see, is that in the midst of everything that we're going through, God is not far removed from us. It may feel that way at times. But how do we know? How do we know in the midst of everything? We can't see God, or can we? As I mentioned, this has been a whirlwind 2 weeks. And the way that I experienced God, it wasn't just marinating in his word. I've been doing that this week, though there were times where I wasn't, again, as I said earlier. And that certainly is an opportunity. We have God, we have his love letter to us. We have his voice with us, right as we shelter in place, as we experience social distancing. We have that, but how do we experience God in part? God's people. How did I experience God this week? You. Some of you dropped off meals. Some of you are still doing that. Others have just gone out of your way to ensure that we're being cared for emotionally and in other ways. The Bolin family, the Drexlers, people are being checked in on, cared for. That's how I know. God shows up especially in his people. When you question, is God for me in the wilderness? Man, more than anything else, it's in his people. This is what the church, when the church is at its best, this is what the church is doing. No wonder Paul was so good to, in so many of the letters, to thank his supporters, saying, thank you for the way that you provide for me while I'm in house arrest, you know, imprisoned in a home. Paul wrote many letters from home. He knew something about being sheltered in place. And I personally have been able to experience that this week. Again, thank you. But because of that, this is where I want to end here. Yes, frailty, but we have a shepherd. And because of that, it says right here, no fear. Verse 4, I will fear no evil. And we know this even more than David, the psalmist. You know why? Because Jesus was brought into the wilderness to be tested. The story is told in Matthew chapter 4 and some of the other gospel accounts as well. And look it up, verses 1 through 11 there. And one of the things it says is that he was brought out there to be tempted after 40 days of being famished. Talk about suffering. He's tempted to leverage his God power for himself, selfishly. And 3 times he is tested, and 3 times he passes the test. The test that you and I fail on a regular basis. But the reason why I tell you that is because in John chapter 10, Jesus refers himself, there's the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Think about that. He lays down his staff, and he lays down his life. That is the ultimate weapon of protection. In his frailty, in his weakness, being exposed to shame and humiliation for you and for me, he goes to the cross so that sin and death would be defeated. And one day, no more tears, no more sorrow. That's the promise, which means verse 6 should be read in light of that. This is where it ends. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. The goodness of the Lord will follow me forever because we have a good shepherd. So practically, what does that mean? It means that we as the church family, in the midst of a pandemic, we have a remarkable opportunity to practice kindness and love. Remarkable opportunity. I now have immunity. I'm one of the few. I was one of the first cases here in Georgia. That still boggles my mind, but I actually have immunity, and oh my gosh, what an opportunity to serve others. But we will all have that opportunity. The reality is many of you hearing this and watching this will get sick. My prayer is that it won't even be a moderate case. It'll be a mild case for you. But my prayer is that you will remember that you have a greater story than COVID-19. And you do not have to fear, no matter how bad it gets, the sickness. And I think for what I really want you to hear now, because the tendency of sheltering in place in the midst of the pandemic and some of the narratives that we're hearing out there, the temptation could be to sort of enshroud ourselves and hide in a sense. But I want you to hear something that C.S. Lewis said. This is early in his Christian life in 1948, not long after the atomic bomb had been invented and dropped, of course, being tested after Japan. And I want you to hear something he said in a letter called On Living in an Atomic Age. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies. And then he said this, a microbe can do that. Huh. But they need not dominate our minds. As we wait for the pubs and taverns to open up, it might be that you need to have that pint with someone on the front porch. 6 feet away from each other, of course. But listen, don't let COVID-19 be the dominant narrative. God wants us to flourish in the midst of pestilence, and we can. We can, because we have a better story. We know it how this story ends. I know it firsthand how it ends. And so I want to call you to live that way. Chapter 90, Psalm 91, 5 through 6 says, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. So here's the question. Are you living that way? Friends, brothers and sisters, what an opportunity we have. I know we're still all trying to figure this out. And it's okay to be concerned. And you should prepare like everyone else for the pandemic. And you should seek to protect others. But do not live in fear. Yes, the valley of shadow of death, it's here. It was here before COVID-19. It'll be here after COVID-19 until the Lord returns. But we can read Psalm 23. We can sing this song and live a different life and testify to our neighbors and to our city. What a great God we have in the midst of this. I want to ask you to do something as I close in prayer here. After I'm done with that, and maybe in the next 24 hours, we'll figure out how to embed this at the website. If not, I'm just going to ask you to do this. I want you to go to an Instagram account by a man named Jesse Oxford. J-E-S-S-E, Oxford, like the university. Go to his Instagram account. Last several days, he got 80 artists and pastors from around the world in multiple languages to read Psalm 23 over about a 3 or 4 minute period. It's beautiful. And I want you to conclude this time together with listening to your brothers and sisters around the world, many of whom are sheltered in place the way that you are. Listen to how they speak of comfort. And so I want to pray for us now. And I want to ask that the Lord bless you and keep you. That's my benediction here at the end too. May he keep you. May he bless you. May you know him as the good shepherd. And may you glorify him in your life. I can't wait to be back together with you. It'll probably be a fist bump when we see each other again, but nonetheless, I cannot wait. What a celebration, whether it's sometime next month, May, whenever. In the meantime, we're going to connect you with worship. And now I'm going to connect you with God through prayer. Father, thank you for the good promise of your word. Jesus, thank you that you are the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Holy Spirit, you're the one that can bring comfort, peace, transcending all understanding. You can do that, freeing us from anxiety, freeing us from fearing or feeling fearful. So Lord, triune God, do wondrous good things through your people this week at City Church. Thank you for their outpouring of love to me and my family and to others in our church. May we bless this great city of ours in the midst of the pandemic, and may we bring you glory. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, everyone. It was good to be with you.